Socrates would not have approved of lame excuses.
And I promise to begin exploiting my family before the end of the day.
Nice suit. Thank you.
Very good. You get a gold star.
Hailing frequencies open. You are listening to Treknologic's listening post that goes with Treknologic 174 for Stardate 2015.193, where we reviewed the Deep Space Nine episode, Tacking into the Wind. First up, Space Mailbag. Mike?
Our first feedback is from Sassor. Sassor says, Mike, I'm convinced that you must have been created by an Orion. There is no other explanation for why I agree with you on so many episodes. I can really only watch Fury if I look at it as a Tuvok episode. To do otherwise would force me to see it as a Kes episode, which would instantly make me hate it.
Oh, that's so bad.
Keep fighting the good fight, Mike, and know that you will always have a home in the Syndicate if you get tired of the Federation. Sassor.
So, Mike, were you made by an Orion?
I think that information is classified to me.
So you don't know your genealogy, your heritage? Oh, that's so sad.
I'm half Vulcan and half Betazoid.
So you can figure out how that works.
Yeah.
My hardware was made on Betazed. My software was made on Vulcan.
Next up, Ben.
This one is from Ern. Hello, Treknologic people. It's taken me a very long time to get caught up on the podcast, but I finally did.
Yay, Ern!
Woo!
Yeah, Ern has written in before a while back.
Yep.
Thank you for covering so much DS9. I recently completed a rewatch. It had been 6 years since the last rewatch. I especially like seeing Damar becoming redeemed. The most boring part of all of it was the Paw Wraith spelling stuff. But seeing Dukat and Adami Wynn go back and forth is fun. Not sure if Wynn will be redeemed. I won't say, since you didn't cover that final episode yet. Bill, you will be missed. The Breen, yeah. Spelling, no time for memory alpha.
Attack. Well, you don't need to read that. I mean, yeah. They can't see the... No one can see the text except for us.
That is not in my programming. I can't skip that. I always...
like Brian that way.
Yes. Maybe he's one of my ancestors.
You should ask him. You should have a sit down with Brian. It's a lot of fun.
He just says what you want to hear.
Yeah, he does. That's all he ever says.
No, I always liked. No.
No.
I see we're running the Captain Chris personality protocol through Brian.
I always liked Galron. I wish the writers producers didn't turn him in the direction that they chose. A journey to the fires of Mordor to unmake Code of Honor? Perhaps that would be effective, but until then, it's still canon, even though it's awful. That's true. I've read a lot about Harlan Ellison and his battles with the studio about City on the Edge of Forever. I didn't know that the rewrites retained only two lines from Ellison's original script. I did read that the award that Ellison won was for the original script. Correct me if I'm wrong. Thank you for such a wonderful podcast, Ern.
All right.
I don't know.
Ern.
What?
I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, I don't have any idea what anyone won an award for. I'm not big into award shows.
But we'll say it's for original writing.
Sure.
We choose that one for him. Our next one is from Tekarangalam.
You want intro from Brian?
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Next up, Kerry.
I had said Tekarangalam, so now I can say it's Tekarangalam.
Oh, really yes.
I got sucked into the mic pronunciation. Greetings, Treknologic crew.
It rolls off the tongue so easily.
It is I, the Tekarangalam, and I'm not alone. I am here with my lovely wife, Mrs. Golem, and we are also accompanied by a third, little Tack Jr., or Tacky, Tackling, Tacardi Rum. The missus and I haven't landed on a name yet. Yes, the newest member of the Treknologic crew has arrived. Yay!
All right. That's awesome.
I love new members. We're a generational ship.
That's right.
Yes. He hasn't listened to all of the backlog yet, but rest assured I'll get him caught up.
On Golem time, though, that could take decades.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay, because you really want to absorb all of that goodness.
Absolutely.
Or, I don't know, maybe it runs through your system. Maybe it's like, you know, certain types of food where you eat it and then you're hungry later, so you have to eat again. So you listen, and then you're, you know, need to listen again later.
Isn't that how all food works? You eat, and then you get hungry,
no,
and
I'm talking about like later. Right away, like an hour later, you're hungry again.
Are any of us currently truly biological right now?
Look at Chris isn't here.
That's why we all really don't know what we're talking about when it comes to this.
Now on to the episode Fury. Nope. I remember it was Furry in reference to Neelix's scruffy whiskers. Neelix's whiskers. What was I talking about? Anyway, the episode that made so many fans furious. I didn't know it was, you know, like they were being prescient when they titled it Fury.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I didn't get the complaints at first, but the more I think about the episode, the more I'm tempted to agree with them. To start off, I have to give it a compliment. Maybe that's required by law where Tack lives.
Could be.
You must give it a compliment before you can bash anything. But he does have to give it a compliment. Voyager has a nasty habit of religiously pacing their episodes such that there is always a rush to the end, which gets a little tedious after a while. But I love the story structure here. We get rush from the beginning, a rush to the middle, and an anti-rush to the end. You have no idea how much I appreciate that. Now, unlike many haters out there, I was okay with Kes returning all evil. Having a lost main character return with a vengeance is one of my favorite tropes. But, like the invention of the rubber guillotine, the problem is in execution. For the bulk of the episode, our crew is oblivious to the evil plot that we are watching unfold. So our only point of view character is Kes, someone acting completely out of character, essentially a complete stranger with no discernible characteristics besides veiled anger and non-veiled anger.
That was about it.
Yeah. Yep.
It was slightly suppressed anger and super open anger.
It's kind of like Houston weather. It's hot and less hot.
Yes.
And right now it's really hot. We're only given the implication that she blames Janeway and crew for what happened to her, and that's halfway through the episode.
Yep.
This is an example of the problem that movies suffer from today. Deliberately withholding plot points to build up a surprise instead of revealing those plot points to give the story some context. If we knew why Kes hated Voyager from the beginning, her determination would be more dire and even tragic. Context is more important than surprise.
Yes.
Even surprises require context to be effective because we must first draw assumptions before they can be subverted. See also Into Darkness. You can't even claim it's a mystery because you didn't lay out clues for us to figure out.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't stand when they say it's a mystery or whatever and there's no way you can figure out what's going on except by just totally understanding that you know, it's an ABC plot, and so you know what's going to happen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, I may be giving this episode too much credit because surprise implies we learned something. We get to the very end to finally hear why Kes was so fury-angerous through this entire episode, and then she forgets. You build up a lingering question, one that sets up the entire episode, and she forgets? Imagine Vader going, Luke, I am your... Sorry, I forgot where I was going with that. Anyway, time to die.
That would totally be me as a bad guy. There was a point to this monologue, honest.
That's why you just don't, there are no, don't monologue if you're a bad guy.
That's right. Yes.
Not, you give them time to escape, and you might forget where you're going. The questions of how and why Kes ended up where she is, doing the things she's doing, hangs over the episode like a dead moose with suspension cables. Ooh, that could be very dangerous.
Yeah, it could.
At least it's not a giant dead whale on a beach.
You know, that's the Moose of Damocles. I've heard of that before.
Oh, yeah. The Moose of Damocles?
Moosecles?
Except that was Canadian Damocles.
Right, right.
Yeah. So you got to put some
Damocles?
Superfluous A in your comments. No, I'm not content with I'm sorry. I was confused. I made a mistake. How did it get up there, and why is it wearing a surgeon's mask? As cool as it is to go back to season one or three or two, they really screwed up the timeline.
As Ben pointed out.
It just detracts from the story by being more interesting. And don't get me started on Tuvok. Somewhere between that's improbably convenient and that's poorly explained, the Tuvok plot also cozies up to that's trite, boring, and now we know how Kes will get caught.
Well, yes. But I did like the Tuvok part. It's now just, I wish that they had done that some other time, you know, where, what the heck are the temporal particles?
Tachyons?
Yeah, where tachyons affected another telepath somewhere and made them see things. If they did it again, it would have been, you know, acceptable, more acceptable in this storyline.
Yes. Now that I'm on a rant, the time travel also annoys me. I'm fine with a single loop paradox, but Voyager's hull was ripped off. That would have made a significant change in their history, retroactively changing season one in a big way, but I'm left feeling as though there's no impact from it. Well, Carrie would like to reference that a lot of Voyager, there's no impact from it.
Right, but also the hull was ripped off in the future, not in the past. She did that before she went back.
Right.
So that would be undone by the loop.
Mm.
Well, I actually thought your computer froze for a second there.
She was processing.
Yes.
I was processing the next few sentences, too. So I suppose I should compliment the temporal cleanup crew for Deus Ex Machining another mess.
Well, that is our job.
Yes.
Hello, that's why I'm a machine.
I personally like the explanation that Kes simply had gotten weakened and senile in her old age. This is why she got confused and also why she needed a warp core for her time travel. Ocampo and Alzheimer's. It's still a lousy payoff, but at least it makes sense.
Yeah, if she was actually delusional.
Yeah.
And she was old, so.
Yeah, she was.
I don't hate this episode. It's charming and full of enough good segments, but it just doesn't add up to much. It's okay. It's fine. I'd move on to the next episode, but I don't think I'll have the time to write it. So carry on. I must now return to this parenting gig. Tack out.
All right. Well, congratulations, Ooh, Tack. Yes. Thanks for writing in.
Congratulations, Tack. I hope little Tack Jr. is much like yourself and that they stay in one place for a period of time to make them easy to find.
I vote for Tacardi Rum.
We receive two voicemails from Colin.
Hey, Colin!
Hold on.
Woohoo!
Space that.
We receive two voicemails from Colin.
There we go. All right, here's
our
first.
It was so nice he had to say it twice.
That's right. No, I made him say voicemails different. I didn't look how he said voicemails.
Hi, guys, it's Colin. I thought I'd send in a normal voicemail. Or should I say, hi, y'all? Been a long time since I've done that. But anyway, you know why I haven't been sending in stuff lately. If you got my last audio message, and if you didn't, then it's probably in a spam folder somewhere. But I'm ever so slightly behind because of work and all that. But I've just watched Kes do time travel, which brings me to a question I'd like to ask a time traveling crew. Why did Kes need to go to Voyager to travel back in time to her old self? I mean, if she didn't travel back in time, how could the message be there to send to herself? So she didn't have to travel back in time because she wouldn't have existed in the past, so therefore the message in the future shouldn't exist. And that kind of stuff makes people's brains hurt. But the other thing is, when Kes left the ship, she actually threw the ship 10,000 light years. Now, obviously, if she's capable of throwing a ship 10,000 light years, she's capable of moving herself 10,000 light years. And if you can move yourself 10,000 light years, why do you need to steal a time ship? And if you steal a time ship, why do you need Voyager to go back in time when you've got a time ship? See, stuff like this is just continuity. It's just not good enough. But, you know, this thing about Kes and Neelix and how wrong that was, and then it gets turned on his head, and Neelix is actually slightly more creepy because before he fancied a little 2- and 3-year-old, albeit a different species, and now he's got to think about an older woman. Neelix has got serious issues. You know, this guy needs a therapist, which they haven't got on Voyager. There's got to be a Beta Zoid on there somewhere, apart from Suta, who's got to think about killing people. There's got to be another one on there who can, like, help Neelix sort out these problems he has with age differential.
She died in the first episode.
Actually, as an episode, I kind of liked it, apart from the paradoxes and stuff like that. That don't seem to make sense. And how did Kes travel 10,000 miles? 10,000 light years, sorry. And how annoyed have you got to be with someone to travel 10,000 light years to get your revenge on them? I mean, I can think of people who've really got messy divorces or split up really badly, and they wouldn't travel 10 miles to see the other person. Never mind 10,000 light years. But the story's, you know, nah. In that respect, but the rest of it is good. It's nice to see Kes back on the show, you know, after they got rid of her so they could get 7 and 9 in, which upset Kate Mulgrew, incidentally, because she didn't want Kes to leave the character, nor Jerry, the actress.
Oh, wow.
But it was good acting. It was nice to see her back on board. It was brilliant how they all went back to what they were in season one. That notwithstanding, the little thing you had about the 3 years, just because Voyager, the series, is in season 6 or season 2 or season 1 or whatever, doesn't mean that as far as the crew is concerned, it's that long. Because as we know from episodes of TNG and stuff like that, they'll do a 40-minute episode, but they'll say things like, oh, I don't know. Let's have an example. When Geordi became phased and didn't actually fall through the ship, even though he should have fell through the ship. But anyway, the end of that 40-minute episode, he actually turns around to Ro and says he hasn't eaten for 3 days. So just because the series is on season 6 doesn't mean as far as the characters are concerned it's been 2 years. Because the characters can think it's been 3 years. So there you go. That's think. Anyway, just want to say that... totally, as always, enjoying the podcast. I think that the diversity of the people on the podcast also helps, by the way. I know a lot of people have been sending messages in saying they miss Bill. You know, I miss Jeff. I miss Jane.
Yeah.
Ben now. And Ben's doing a stand-up job for the light bulb. And, but yeah, this is the strength of Trek and the Logic is the diversity of the crew and the different opinions, and that diversity extends to us, the listeners, who are far and wide on this little planet of ours, hurling through the solar system. So I think the strength in depth of both the crew and the fan base is what makes this podcast what it is. So hats off to all of you other listeners, and hats off to all of you crew who keep going. Because more than anyone else, I know how hard it is to do podcasting. And even though I don't actually do a Star Trek podcast anymore, I do understand the pain and suffering that you go through and the multiple cups of coffee that Kelly seems to drink when she's editing. Right. That's it for me, guys. Live long and podcast, and I'll speak to you soon.
Oh, thank you, Colin.
I didn't even think about the 10 light years part.
Okay, there's... Yeah. I'm not sure if maybe he just didn't turn the recorder off, but there's still, I think, like 10 more seconds of this audio. So I'm going to click play and see if there's anything there.
Okay.
Or if it's just going to be subway sounds.
I want to listen. cave.
Oh, a cave!
It's Star Trek.
That would make sense.
He went to Damar's secret base.
That's right.
I love hearing from Colin.
Yeah,
I mean, I love
awesome.
Hearing from all of our listeners, but Colin is like one of our very first. There's a special place in my heart for Cindy and Colin because they were like the first two that really started corresponding with us and making us understand we weren't really insane, just talking to ourselves.
Yes. Yeah, because Jeff thought for sure we were just talking to ourselves.
Yes.
There's no way anyone is going to listen to this.
Yeah. Well, and about the whole, like, Kes thing, I think she was just, as Tak said, you know, she's senile and just got fixated on having to go punish Voyager.
Right. Well, and for why she needed to go to Voyager to travel back in time, I'm not sure if there are any time ships in the Delta Quadrant that she could have stolen. And I would guess, because I think her shuttle had a warp core so that it could travel at warp speed, but maybe it could only travel at a low warp, so it wasn't powerful enough for her to drain to go back in time.
No, I think it was all about punishment.
Oh, wait, if she used her ship to go back in time, it wouldn't be there when she got there, and she'd be floating in space. That's why she had to go to Voyager.
Right. No, and also, it just makes it easier to, you know, kidnap your younger self if you're where your younger self is.
Yeah. Right. If she busts in the future and then jumps to the past, nobody knows that she just busted in. If she jumps to the past someplace else, she's
going to bust
in.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that makes sense.
And she wanted to get younger Kes out, so she had to get on the ship.
Yep. That makes sense.
Yeah, it just made it easier to physically be there.
Yeah, and I just realized that the whole your ship not being there when you jump back doesn't work either because the Voyager would not have been where she was 3 years ago either.
Right.
So clearly she jumped across time and space with that power.
Yes. Wow. It's like a TARDIS.
All right. We have another voicemail from Colin, which I think it was a request we made in one of our episodes.
I'm excited for this.
From O'Compens.
All right, here we go.
I am Koloff of the Klingon Empire. That's with a C, not a K. My father liked to be different. Why I couldn't have a K like other Klingons, I don't know. But still, as a member of the British Empire, I will send... as a member of the Klingon... Yes, that's right, Klingon Empire. I send greetings. For it is why I sat here reading the collected works of the great Klingon bard, Will.i.am Shakins. The thought came to me. I would send greetings to the Batak crew of the USS Relativity. Gah! Let me get that out of your face. Even saying the name of the cursed Federation ship makes me want to bring my gawk back up. Which is not good when you consider we eat it live. Not like you puny humans. I know that's not how you say it, but I've learned it annoys the one called Mike. Although, light bulb can have feelings is beyond me. Wait, you're one of them Federation eco light bulbs, not a true. The Klingon ones. For sure, there is no tungsten in your veins. Veins, because... Batak. And your 10-pound agent is a light bulb as well. For sure, no tungsten runs in him. He plays havoc with the gravimetric tachyon waves. Incidentally, Captain Chris, with all these light bulbs in the bridge, do you have to wear sunglasses? Because if not, the Klingon director, G.G. Abrahamfist, can sort out some lens flare for you. I've heard many great stories of you and your gallant crew, how you managed to function with two light bulbs and a pilot from the cartoon universe is beyond me. I can only assure your glorious science officer and alleged Q is holding it all together. And your helmsman as a cartoon, does he disappear when he turns sideways? But anyway, I digest. Actually, I digress. Although I do digest my targ, which incidentally is now cooking on a spit next to me. No replicators on a Klingon ship. Oh no, we burn all our food ourselves. These noble deeds you do, long as I enjoyed them over these years, they have brought me much mirth and merriment. And that is why, unlike our gods, we have not killed you. Although you have to question the wisdom of a culture that kills its gods, then it elevates someone to sacrifice godlike status, gets tired of him to return, and so clones him. But if the Nubian slime worms are not worthy to judge the British Empire or our German Queen. Klingon Empire and our Chancellor. This bloodline. Incidentally, Captain Chris, from your mirror universe, I understand, and you like inflicting pain. You shall come round on Saturday and we can get the pain sticks out and poke some Star Wars fans. And entrails to the blood wine. It has a certain je ne sais quoi and makes it kind of spicy. Ah, my tag leg is burning. I must bid you farewell for now, noble crew. Continue to go forth and do good deeds. Many songs will be sung about you, mostly off key. Will.i.am Shakespeare himself said, to gawk or not to gawk? That is a question. Alas, poor Captain Jeff. I knew him well. Cry havoc and let loose the dogs of war, otherwise known as iTunes reviews.
Ah! Oh my God!
Oh, crying. Big
on. I am crying. Oh, that was so funny.
Wow.
Oh, you know what? Whenever I have a bad day, I'm gonna listen to that too. Oh, my cheeks hurt.
That was really good.
Oh. Well, we did ask about, you know, the similarities between the British Empire and the Klingon Empire.
That's right. Yes. Well, and whether they eat blood wine pudding.
Yes. And we know the answer is yes.
Yes, absolutely. All right, hold on. I'm typing up the closing thing for Brian to read.
Oh, good. I need a moment to, like, regain my composure. That was hysterical.
That was good.
You know, you're always in a treat when in for a treat when Colin
sends
in a voicemail. Man, Brian is slow today.
All right, let me see how this sounds.
Is he, like, making demands? Is he becoming a diva? He might not read it. I can take him to my lab and work on him for a while.
As you know, we love feedback. You can give us feedback by sending an iTunes review, by emailing us
at iTunes.
As you know, we love feedback. You can give us feedback by sending an iTunes review. By emailing us at feedback@treknologic.com. You can tweet us at Treknologic. You can find us on Facebook and Google+, and we have a forum at treknologic.com. Thank you for listening to our discussion of feedback. Until next time, on behalf of everyone here at Treknologic, love long and prosper.
Now, let me go ahead.
Is that the emergency command hologram?
That's Brian.
That's Brian. Mike doesn't like Brian very much. Okay, now my desktop is frozen.
Is this a crisp production day?